Welcome back. We are about to bring you part 6 of the General Hudson and George Worm interview. The General reveals for the very first time a part of Bernard Cord that will leave many with mouths wide open.
Now, in his book, former Governor General...
Who?
Sir Paul Scoon did a book.
Yeah.
And I think you touched on it, where he said you came to see him. But Sir Paul was saying more or less that you mislead him about the whereabouts of the bodies of Bishop and them. When you went to see Sir Paul, he was saying that you had kind of mislead him about the whereabouts of the bodies of Bishop and the others.
Well, I didn't know.
But he said it was MacLeish who told him that the bodies were burnt and destroyed in Camp Kelvinny.
I didn't even know that till I get to the court.
No. So you did not know anything about the man with the bodies?
Because I thought they give the bodies to Otto and Eric Lacroix went up there to take bodies. They didn't give the bodies to their body, they gave them to their bodies.
So you really thought the families had gotten the bodies?
I thought all the bodies went to Lacroix. When I went to see Bernard Cord, he died as I tell you. Because I told... I know Eric Lacroix went up there to collect bodies. And the same Gabriel, I talked to Gabriel on the phone that night, you know. When I call him, I tell the phone, I tell him Lacroix will be coming up to collect the people's bodies, give them all the bodies. The same one who talked that I asked this day. Same Gabriel I talked that night, you know.
So let me ask you something. Based on your interaction, the knowledge, do you know who took that decision to destroy the bodies?
To do what?
Do you know who took the decision to destroy the bodies of Bishop and them and not give it over?
Nobody would tell me that.
So did you ever ask?
I asked all the men on the phone, all of them ducked it. All the men who was inside the prison with me, everyone ducked that. But I didn't shock chance again. Don't, even while I in the prison, but I give them in shock chance. Certain things don't tell H.A. Even certain things I discuss it with a lawyer. I get to know, I tell them, don't discuss it with me. Because he say, I might turn Pabasa on them. That's what he tell me. And even the lawyer, sometimes some of the lawyers was asking questions. We never heard that from Austin.
No, well, you are.
Even the lawyer who was representing me, behind my back, but I changed him, you know. Discuss with the lawyers. Or somebody else to represent me.
Who paid for the lawyers?
Eh?
Who paid for the lawyers? Who paid for the lawyers to defend you all?
Well, a lot of organizations, you know. Overseas organizations.
They paid for the lawyers.
Yeah. And Bernard Cord better organize people in the States because I know he was a big boy up there.
Yeah, I know he was filthy rich also.
Yeah.
The one in California.
Yeah.
Okay. You kind of answered the question which I was going to ask you. The order to kill, you more or less said you believe it was Bernard Cord.
Yes, who else could have given that order?
Give the order to kill.
Who else could have given the order? Bernard Cord wanted to get rid of Maurice anyway. And I tell the world that. Listen, man. Bernard Cord envy Maurice down the line. You hear what we talk about? Maurice used to humanize and... So let's tell him any book. How you write any book? I don't know if you read Bernard Cord book.
Yeah, I read one of his books.
How Maurice was a womanizer.
Yes.
Hey, let me tell you something. Everyone I met woman and Maurice used to deal with, Bernard tackled them. Even Jackie. That letter to Jackie wanted to have an affair with her. That's why you want to mash up everything to other by Maurice.
I never heard that.
Let me tell you something.
He was attacking Maurice's personal woman.
There are something girl Maurice used to deal with.
Who?
Huh?
Jackie and Shahira used to deal with Shahira.
Shahiba. Shahiba had a party one night. With white brother and cool and Maurice and all of them. Right? And you know what you do?
Yes, go ahead.
You know what you did? He hired himself in Shahiba house. And when everybody gone, when I tried to hold the girl and have sex with her.
You gonna?
And then he! You know what I said about Maurice humanizing? Every woman Maurice had, he tackled them. Everyone. That was part of the rift. between them. A lot of people don't know that, but that was it. Part of the way.
Well, you already talked about the discussions you might have had with Lane and them after the killings. And Lane was saying,
you do it behind my back. Evil, as I tell you. The discussion setting up a civilian government, you go behind my back, said Colorado Pauls could have reversed that. So that's why we didn't have an inquiry about what happened on the phone. Because what I think Pauls could do is setting up the inquiry behind my back, but answer that topic. Use Cornwall.
Okay, Eche, you are named as the leader of the Revolutionary Military Council to replace.
I hear you.
I said, you are named as leader of the Revolutionary Military Council.
Yeah.
That was the government that was set up to replace the PRG after events on the phone. How did this RMC thing come about? And okay. who are the main players in setting up this new government? How did that
when come I about? Met Bernard, when I met Bernard, I said, Bernard, there must be some kind of control in the country, and we're going to kill us. And he came back on me.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you don't want to lead the country now. But I know what you wanted to do. He wanted me to get things quiet down for him to take over. I was looking at him. That's what he wanted to do. Because he feel the people are going to listen to me.
So who appointed the men to serve on the
all of them.
Who served? Did you appoint the men?
Huh?
Did you, as a general, select the members of the RMC government?
Yeah.
You selected them?
Yeah.
I mean, you call them and speak with them?
Yeah.
Because I remember there was one member in particular, Ashley Ram Folks,
uh-huh.
I came out, he distanced himself from the RMC.
Because he wasn't there, but I said he was a good man to have on it.
Oh, you said he was a good man to have on it?
Yeah. I like him, eh?
Mm-hmm.
I like him. He's a kind of straightforward fella. I like Ram. That's why I put his name. I even put his name.
You put Ram's name there?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I didn't get to talk to him.
To him, okay.
Well, I put his name there because, you see, Ram is a kind of straightforward fella, eh? He likes people bamboozled.
Did you actually speak with Code on the composition of the RMC?
The what?
Did you speak with Code?
Yeah.
On the composition of the RMC?
Yeah.
You spoke with him?
Yeah.
And,
Because it must have somebody to control the country, that's kind of the country going wild.
And did you pass the names that you had in mind to him?
Yeah.
Did you tell him, well, look, I want this person or that person to serve? Did you tell Code who you would like to see serve?
You see, I get to realize that the whole country was going into chaos.
Mm-hmm.
So if you didn't set up something, and going to have something controlling the country, a lot of people are doing a lot of stupidness.
Mm-hmm.
Because when the people know that Boris there, that this there, that that, fellas might have picked up weapons.
Mm-hmm.
Eh?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was thinking about.
So the speech that you give on the night, it was written by Bernard. The speech that you give on the night, Bishop Nemo killed, it was written by Bernard, given to you to read.
Yeah.
So all this thing about shot and shoot and curfew, that didn't come from you. That was Bernard.
I tell him I didn't like it no more.
After the killing, and everybody recognized that, well, you were more or less the leader of the RMC, did you have any kind of engagement with other Caribbean leaders as to how we can normalize the situation in Grenada? Who would you have spoken to?
The fellow from St. Vincent. What is your name? Kato?
Kato called you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Kato called me. Folks Burnham called me.
Mm-hmm.
Kato, Folks Burnham. The one from St. Lucia.
Was it Compton who was there? I can't remember who might have been the leader.
Who was the one in St. Lucia at the time?
Louisy?
Well, not Louisy, though. But them fellas wanted to have a meeting with me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Fellas wanted to have a meeting with me, but it didn't happen afterwards. It didn't happen. The other bigger powers persuaded them not to have no meeting with me.
The who?
The bigger powers, like Barbados and Jamaica, I think Trinidad too, persuaded them not to have no meeting with me.
Mm-hmm. Now in the book, The Assassination of Maurice Bishop.
Huh?
In the book, The Assassination of Maurice Bishop, which was written by Godfrey Smith, he interviewed you.
Yes, Smith, the judge.
The judge. And
he came here.
He came here.
He had interviewed me.
Yes. And he quoted you as saying that Court never disbanded his room. I suspect you're referring to Orell. And that the Orell were always holding meetings, secret meetings.
That's right.
No, can you elaborate on that? That Orell was having these secret meetings?
No, Orell was disbanded. That whole talk. Orell remained a clandestine organization within the Jewish movement, pushed by Bonner and Cohn. And they used to have secret meetings. I know that. Right? So this stupid talk about Orell disbanded, don't swallow that. Right? He was using the revolution to kill the revolution. Because he was pushing his Orell boy in every top position he could find. That is what he was doing. Or the Central Committee, or the Political Bureau, or the workers' movement, all along he was pushing them. All along. In the militia, everywhere.
Okay, now the core, I like to call them the core disciples, and I think you know who they are.
Yeah.
They have often said that the Cubans were interfering in the affairs of the PRA and helping to bring about tension among the revolutionary leaders. How real was this allegation that the Cubans often tried to use Bishop to overturn or overthrow decisions that were taken by the army commanders?
That's a bona fide statement, but not a lie. He, Bonner and Cohn, wanted to ride the option over the Cubans. The Cubans are meticulous people, meticulous and principled people. And Bonner and Cohn is an unprincipled man. I remember, every time Boris leaves the country, Bonner and Cohn would summon the Cubans to meetings. No agenda, just bringing them in a meeting. When you come in the meeting, you know what you want to discuss. And that used to piss them off. To show them that he had power.
When you say meeting, meeting of the cabinet, a meeting of what? The Central Committee, the political, what meeting was he in?
Well, I remember the last one was a meeting of, you wanted to know what happened with the airport. But he don't have no agenda, so let me keep on saying, we didn't know what you wanted to discuss, we didn't work with no documents or anything to give you any explanation. So the meeting, but I have not asked the habit. He tried that with me twice, too. Just called me for a meeting without agenda. To discuss the Eastern Bureau. But behind my back, the man fired one of the engineers behind my back and didn't even discuss it with me.
You fired who?
Fire one of the engineers. I put it up with that shit, you know. I bring back the man to work, man. A young fella from St. David, what his name was again? You were on the Eastern Bay Road, you were building the Eastern Bay Road that time. And the man know what you're about, you know what? But Bonner tried to carry use him, so he just wanted to fire him.
In listening to you carefully, I found the impression that Cohn and his clique, they had nothing on you.
Cohn and who?
Cohn and his clique, meaning Lane and the other disciples of Cohn. Because some people, you know, say, well, look, H.A. had an opportunity to speak up. Some people held the view that you had an opportunity in the trial to speak up on what transpired in the events in October 83.
Yeah.
But some people felt that you didn't do it because the court and them might have had something on you.
No, that is not the point. The point is I didn't know everything happened secretly behind my back. And people would believe that. For instance, who would believe that behind the commander of the army back, you give soldiers instruction to execute people in the headquarters where the commander of his office? And he, you know, who would believe that? George, that's hard for people to believe.
Okay, there are also reports that you got a tip-off from Burnham.
I do what?
There's a feeling that Burnham is the one who tipped you off that the Americans were planning the... Okay, there's a belief that it was Forbes Burnham, the late president of Guyana, who gave you a tip-off that the Americans were planning an invasion.
Yeah, he called me.
He called you and he told you that they were coming?
Yeah, they were coming. Yeah. Right, true.
Okay. There are also reports that when the U.S. troops...
Burnham didn't trust Burnham died, eh?
Burnham didn't trust
Bonner. Bonner did the president of Guyana? Pope Bonham, mm-hmm. he trusts Bonham at all.
Did he tell you that?
He told me that.
He told you that before or after the execution?
Before.
So what was the basis of his saying that?
Well, boy, I guess somebody got his new Bonham, who was in power in Haman. Another guy from Trinidad, who was with Duff, you know the Duff, man, Duff in Trinidad, organization called Duff. And one of the guys came here, and he stayed in my house. And he said, I see all of some people in politics in Grenada. He said, you see, Bonham and his wife, don't trust them two people.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember the guy's name, but he was from Duff. He said, any organization that them two can't control, they mash it up.
Mm.
I can't remember his name, but he stayed in this house and he told me that.
Okay. Itchy, there's information that when the Americans actually came in, when the American troops landed, there are reports that you had to move around, you had to disguise yourself in order to move around so they couldn't detect you. And some said that at some time you used to dress like a lady.
That bullshit. When the Cubans captured me,
the Cubans, you mean the Americans?
Where the Americans captured me, I was in my military uniform.
Oh, where did they capture you?
They captured me in Westerhall Point by Jonas. Remember Jonas, the German fella? I was there, Lane was there, Cardall was there.
By him?
Yeah.
So they captured all three of you all there?
That's right.
Okay, how true are reports that you all were trying to negotiate and slip out to Guyana, get out of Grenada and go to Guyana?
That is nonsense. Where are you going to Guyana with? Where are you going to Guyana? For Westerhall Point.
Mm. So somebody must have tipped off the Americans that you all were there.
Cleveland Donald did it.
Was he a Yankee agent?
You know they set up camp by him, by home?
No, I didn't know, I don't know.
Yankee had camp by yours,
so he might have been an informant to the Americans all the time, and you all?
Yeah. But he was saying, he knew I was there, he knew we were there, by Jonas. Who tell him we were there? Poor Precious Tillerson. You know Precious Tillerson? From Westerhall up in the United.
Mm-hmm.
Precious went by him to get some gas, right? Because Precious was the one who was in contact with us, right? Because we were by Precious for a while. And he, Precious, made the mistake and tell Donald where he was. And then I hear a helicopter and that thing circling in the air.
So you knew it was over?
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Donald, I tell them. Cleveland Donald.
Now, which I'm going to ask you another important question.
Yeah, Cleveland Donald.
Cleveland Donald.
This takes us to the end of part 6 of the interview with General Hudson Austin. We'll be back in approximately 2 hours with the final segment of the interview.